Last October, I had the opportunity to experience the podcast of the 2017 lecture of the Canadian Unitarian Universalist Historical Society. It was titled, Mark Mosher DeWolf, The Eulogy I Never Gave, and was delivered by Reverend Mark Bellatini at the First Unitarian Congregation of Toronto. And by the way, this podcast is available on YouTube. Now, the lecture was a powerful and moving tribute to a young Unitarian Universalist minister who died of AIDS in 1988. And it prompted me to develop this talk as a way to deal with all the thoughts and emotions it aroused in me, and is still doing so. Now, I had heard of Mark Mosher DeWolf and had seen the slim volume of his sermons in the LUF library. But when I became involved with LUF in 2005, I was near the end of my time with AIDS Thunder Bay. I was looking to move away from that period in my life and did not pay a lot of attention to it. The talk given by Mark Bellatini brought back a rush of memories and feelings that are still very strong in me. What came as a surprise to me during the podcast was the revelation that Mark Bellatini was also a gay man, only 4 years older than Mark DeWolf, and that they met at Star King School of the Ministry in 1978. And this helped to explain the deeply personal talk that Reverend Bellatini gave, and it helps to explain the deep connection I felt during the talk. This made me want to explore both DeWolf and Bellatini and their relevance to Unitarian Universalism. Now, there are three copies in the LUF library of the book, Time to Live, A Unitarian Universalist Perspective, Selected Writings of Reverend Mark Mosher DeWolf. The book was published in 1992 by the Unitarian Congregation of South Peel, now the Unitarian Congregation in Mississauga. This was 3 years after his death in 1988 from complications of AIDS. Mark had come to the First Unitarian Congregation of Toronto as an interim minister in 1981, and so impressed South Peel that they called him as their settled minister. The selected writings all come from a short period, from the time of his diagnosis in 1986 to his death in 1988. The impact of his diagnosis is evident in his sermons, and how could it not be? The talk and the writings brought me back to that period in my own life. In 1987, I had my first close-up experience, a young man, skeletal and blind, being cared for by his family when he came home from Toronto to die. And it was in 1988 that we began to hold candlelight AIDS vigils here at the fellowship. Now, after sharing his diagnosis with the South Peel congregation, DeWolf brought in Stephen Manning to provide education and support for the community. Here the story connects again, as Stephen Manning was the executive director of the AIDS Committee of Toronto at the time, and I had met Stephen in the course of my involvement with the AIDS Committee of Thunder Bay and the Canadian AIDS Society. Now, Bellatini shared in his talk that Mark DeWolf was an extrovert of charm and wit who was totally comfortable in his own skin. Filled with relentless curiosity, his sermons were learned and eloquent. He had started out in theater. They fused head and heart, and they were lofty and warm at the same time. He was loved by the South Peel congregation. However, his reach went far beyond that, and the printed sermons offer teachings that are enduring and relevant today. Mark DeWolf even has a connection to LUF. Bev Lehman informed me that he came to LUF back in the 80s. I discovered from the files it had been fairly early in his ministry at South Peel. On March 26, 1983, he facilitated a discussion on pathways to growth, while the next day he preached on spirituality for Unitarian Universalists. I can only speculate as to the impact he had on those present. Now, surely Brougham remembers that he signed in American Sign Language as he told a story to the children. Mark Bellatini also referred to this ability to deliver a sermon in two languages at the same time. I want to give a bit of a sense of his kind of ministry. In a sermon in the book called Towards a Theology of Personal Care, he writes, "We care for one another because we are important to one another. Each of us is important to each of us. We are important to each other because we share this community. We are connected to each other through the fellowship of this congregation. This congregation is a freely gathered group of seekers after truth. We admit to ourselves and the world that truth is an evolving thing, that our understanding of meaning changes in time, and that here we support each other in seeking the meanings of the changes that time brings in our lives. We are not a faith like others whose revelation was sealed with the deaths of the prophet founders. Rather, we are agents of transformation for each other, facilitating the process of growth. The world is more complex than any of us can begin to comprehend. We need each other, often to see around the corners of our own blindness. We need each other to expand our vision from our narrow slice of the world into larger portions. We need each other to bring good news when we need it, and to help us bear the burden which comes with bad news and ill tidings." Now, he goes on to develop this theme more fully, and I recommend taking the time to read him. In another sermon, Mark DeWolfe talks about the meaning of membership, another piece that I think is relevant to us here at LUF. "Religions are special interest groups. They are not activities which involve the whole of society. They are dependent on members' contributions of time, energy, and money to stay alive. I believe that churches do serve a social purpose. To our participants, of course, we offer the obvious services of a religious community, worship, fellowship, education. But I believe we also serve a vital need in the community at large. We are, in James Luther Adams' language, a gathered community which seeks to speak prophetically to society. Speaking prophetically means transforming society from the point of view of the creative, sustaining, and transforming forces we encounter in the world and which we celebrate in religious community. To be a member of a church, then, means to open yourself to change. It means to take the risk of paying attention to the creative, sustaining, and transforming forces which operate in the world. And that will change you. It will also urge you on to change society, to join in the conspiracy which is working, in the words of Robert Kimball, to increase the odds of something human happening in the world. The meaning of membership, then, is not just in refuge, not simply in community or identity. It is in openness to change. To be a member of a church is to align yourself with a tradition of transformation. To be a member of a church community is to open yourself to transformation, and out of that, to speak of transformation in the world. For creation has not ceased. The just and loving community is still being born." Mark Mosher DeWolfe had a very short ministry. dying at the very young age of 35. However, he leads a legacy of inspiration for the Unitarian Universalist movement. And as I said, he wrote the hymn which we just sang. I have personally always felt a strong resonance with our seventh principle. And during Mark Bellatini's lecture, he quotes Mark DeWolf's vivid description of the interdependent web. I have a strong visual image of that interdependent web. It's a metaphor for me and all of existence, a shimmering lace work where each stitch picks up a string from the stitches around it and creates a unique individual knot, passing the strings on to the next. This lace work is the core of everything, not only here and now, but back through time all the way to the Big Bang and out through space to the farthest stars. We are not and never have been separated. We depend upon, literally our lives hang upon this web, like the safety net trapeze artists use. And each of us too is a knot in that network, part of a system of being which supports all life. Each shimmering point in the web has only its own time before it dies. Not only do living creatures die, stars die, immense systems collapse and mutate, planets break up or fail to form. In my visual image of the interdependent web, the individual knots shine a while and then they fade. The network goes on shimmering, though separate points are lost. They have given what they have to give and then they fade from view. It is this loss of individual points, in fact, which makes the whole thing shimmer. The web casts not a solid beam like a searchlight or a spotlight, but twinkles as lights come on, are born, and go off, that is, die. Birth and death are what makes the web work. Mark Bellatini commented in his lecture that although he was 4 years older than Mark DeWolf, he was much further behind in self-understanding as a gay man. He is, however, still alive and has contributed much to Unitarian Universalism. While attending the CUC Serving the Spirit retreat this past summer in Waterloo, his meditation, Ode to Silence, became a part of that experience. I want to share this with you, as I found it to evoke much thought and feeling for me, and hope you may find it meaningful. And we will take just a moment or two following this to think about it. You, silence, are the ground on which we build the fragile sandcastles of our every spoken word. You, silence, are quicksand, where curses and cockiness and arrogance find their end. You, silence, are the strand of beach we stroll, where loneliness turns into solitude, and our small heartbeats join the much vaster heartbeat of tide and wave. You, silence, are the hand in which the pearl of the universe, grown around the painful grain of human suffering, rests in heartbeat-breaking beauty. You, silence, are the wide, bright delta into which the river of this prayer fans out before it flows into the indigo deep, quiet, dark, and lovely. Come, silence, fill the moment. That meditation began my interest in learning more about Bellatini. Now a minister emeritus of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Columbus, Ohio, Reverend Mark Bellatini served as chair of the Hymnbook Resources Commission, which produced, in 1993, our gray hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition. He has 8 hymns and a reading included in the hymnal. He is the author of Sonata for Voice and Silence, Meditations. It's a 2008 UUA meditation manual, which contains the meditation that I read. He also wrote Nothing Gold Can Stay, The Colors of Grief, published by Skinner Book House in 2015. In his book, Nothing Gold Can Stay, Mark Bellatini offers a series of reflections on the meaning of grief in all its permutations, and much of it is informed by his experience of living through the AIDS epidemic years in San Francisco. Despite my having been fortunate to live here in Thunder Bay, far from the epicenters of the epidemic, I have felt many of those feelings of grief, and I'm grateful for Bellatini's sharing. I think there may be something for almost everyone in his reflections and meditations. In the book, he talks about the universality of grief, and that it refers not only to death, but losses of all kinds. He makes reference to an ancient story about the Buddha. A mother, grieving the death of her child, asked Buddha to restore the child to life. At first refusing, he tells her that he will do it if she can bring him a certain kind of mustard seed from a home never visited by death and grief. Of course, she discovers the truth of the universality of death and suffering, and after helping families in their grieving, returns to Buddha and becomes a very wise nun, even a venerated saint. Through all the reflections in the book, Bellatini helps us to realize the paradox of the coexistence of grief with the wonder and beauty of the world. Duality is also expressed in this meditation from the book Sonata. When to speak, when to keep silence. When the machetes of injustice tear apart the fabric of the nation and the world, I speak up. When the sunset remembers purple and orange vines and twined like lovers, I sigh in silence. When the mud of deceptions and trickery smear the mirror of public life, I speak up. When the moon rests like a thin slice of lemon in the sparkling glass of morning, I smile in silence. When the insecure bully me or the greedy clutch at the common purse, I speak up. When a song lifts my soul aloft like a lark, I swoon in silence. When roars and rumors of wars destroy the hopes and lives of children, I speak up. When I am overcome by the sheer reality of a communion of life connecting every woman, man, and child on this one world earth, I give thanks in silence. When I am restrained by systems of control, manipulation, denial, and duplicity, I speak up. When words cease, the breath moves deep and slow, and the inner and the outer are as one for time, I wonder in deep, deep silence. So, in my own journey as a gay man, I've been unfortunate to experience the serendipity of encountering two gay men who are part of the weave and fabric of Unitarian Universalism. At the time they were beginning their ministries, churches, even Unitarian Universalist churches, were not open to gay or lesbian ministries. They helped pave the way for this evolution in UU and other denominations. An article about Mark DeWolf, in fact, appeared in the United Church Observer in January of 1988. And only a few years later, in 1995, this fellowship became a welcoming congregation. Mark Bellatini has been an important figure in the denomination, and we experience the result of his efforts every time we open our gray hymnal. So I hope that sharing this talk will help to add to our understanding of the diverse richness of our Unitarian Universalist tradition. And may it be so.